If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Fires it upfield. Caught over the middle. Michael Pittman Jr. There he goes. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Slips out of a tackle. 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. Michael Pittman Jr. takes it 75 yards to the house.
Big run. Angling left. 40. He's at the 30. Down the near sideline. 20. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, a 49-yard gallop to Peter.
In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
All right, well, the glasses are coming off, but they are going to be put back on because we've got that type of day here. Lara Overton, J.J. Stankovic, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. It's the craziest time of the offseason, or one of them right now. Welcome in, by the way, to the official Colts podcast. It's free agency time. I do need to read a little thing here that I don't want, that I'm going to read just so we don't get in trouble. May I do that?
Man, yes.
Just put a little clause in there.
Is this at the direction of our legal department?
Yes, yeah. It is. And all of the deals that we are going to talk about today are reported. They are not finalized yet. And for the players leaving the Colts, those deals can't be signed until after 4 p.m. on Wednesday. We're coming at you at about 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So I just wanted to make aware that we can't really get into the details. We can go and talk about what's being reported. I think that's a proper way to say
Seems
it.
Seems like a safe disclaimer.
Safe disclaimer, okay. So much can change from this podcast on to the next. I'm sorry about that, but we're going to try and keep you up to date right now. And obviously, I want to start right here in this building. JJ, let's start with you. Chris Ballard has said for a lot of years, reward your own. Reward your own. Build from within. We are seeing that in the early phases, and I do mean the legal tampering period, about the Colts. Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen have re-upped and really put some money into some of these veterans that are coming back to the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, to me, a couple no-brainers here, like Michael Pittman Jr., the extension for him that's been reported, that is a no-brainer to sign Michael Pittman Jr. When we talked to Ben Solak at the NFL Combine, and he just talked like, you don't want to find out what life is like without Michael Pittman Jr. I go back to something Jonathan Taylor said at the end of the 2023 season, talking about Pittman and just summing him up as a player, the production, the physicality, the leadership, and he's just like, I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy on your team. Exactly. That's why he's still here, because you don't want to know what it's like without Michael Pittman in this building. He's such an important part, not just of Anthony Richardson's development and growth, but of the mentality that this team brings to every single game. Like, he's that enforcer out there. He's the physical presence who can block in the run. He's going to lower his shoulder into you in the passing game. And, like, I remember Zaire Franklin mentioning this during the season. Like, he's told Pittman, like, there aren't many players like you who are as productive as a wide receiver as he is, who also are willing to do all the little dirty work things and be that physical guy. Those guys don't just grow on trees. The Colts have one. He's still here. That is a really good thing.
That is. Lara, Michael Pittman Jr., what he means to it. Colts have been busy. Obviously, Zaire Franklin, I wanted you to touch on that because the extension that he has reportedly that's going to take place in 2025, the importance of keeping him right where he's at.
Well, he's earned it. I think that's first and foremost is, the kind of steal that Zaire was, where you were able to draft him, the bargain that you had him on early on, even that initial extension was still a bargain. That was prior to, when he was breaking franchise records and, doing all of that. So you were just rewarding him and basically solidifying how important of a piece, not just to this defense that he is, but to this entire organization and this team. And I think it sets a great precedent for other guys, those on the roster, also to see how you can earn not just a spot on the roster, but how you earn these extensions, how you earn more money in the league, both in how you play on the field and how you conduct yourself around the building. And then kind of in compliment to Pittman as well, when you think about not having him or, what that, option would have looked like, I just think about, obviously, everything that JJ said, and similar to Zaire, and that, he earned that money, has earned that extension and all of that with the way he has continued to produce, the consistency that he's displayed since he was drafted in 2020. But it's also one of those things where I think that you have to have some continuity, and you haven't had that in the last few years because you have had not only changes at quarterback, but so many changes within the coaching staff too. When you're talking about even going back a few years, when you're talking about Nick Sirianni leaving and Matt Eberflus leaving and then Frank Reich leaving and then Jeff coming in, and then you had Shane hired, and obviously Gus was retained from 1 year, but you had so much rotation from that side of the building in addition to the roster moves with various quarterbacks, then drafting a quarterback, guys who you brought back, guys who you brought in. So I think that what you really owed yourself was to see what the core group that you assembled last year, what they can do with guys who were rewarded on deals, bringing guys back, and just having, you're never going to be able to have copy and paste 1 year to the next, but at least the core from the coaching, the leadership, the player standpoint, I think is really important, not even just for Anthony Richardson, but for a second year under Shane Steichen, you know, a third year with this defense.
I think with Zaire, the thing that I go back to is there is no better example, there is no better player to have young guys look at than Zaire Franklin. For all the things you mentioned, Lair, he's a seventh-round pick. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot, but he's a seventh-round pick who earns his way onto the roster as a special teamer. And then he becomes a special teams captain, a four-phase guy there, one of the best special teams players in the NFL. He then gets a shot to play a little bit on defense in 2021. The Colts then give him the contract extension after the 2021 season, but it wasn't an extension that was fit for a starting middle linebacker, right?
And a leading tackler.
It was a role player.
So then, but he goes out on that contract and he sets a franchise record for tackles. And then the next year, he sets another franchise record for tackles. And now he's getting more money on this next extension. You cannot ask for a better example for young players on this team to follow than Zaire Franklin. And look what happens if you put your nose down, you work hard, you're a good teammate, you're a good leader, you're a guy who everyone starts rallying around, you're going to get yours. And Zaire Franklin earned every single penny that he is going to get on this contract extension in a way that, like, every player deserves to get paid, right? You know, but like, when you look at Zaire Franklin, that is a guy who you're like, yeah, man, like you got that money in a way that you took a hard path to get it, but man, do you deserve it.
Yeah, you should be clapping for, I mean, if you're a Zaire Franklin fan or not. I believe, maybe I'm wrong here, did he not walk on at Syracuse?
No, he was a scholarship player.
And then he worked his way up to be a team captain and stuff like that, and obviously
The first three-time team captain in franchise football history.
The kind of guy we
got. I believe, JJ, is that?
I believe that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I had to go in the depths of the archives for that one right there, but
just seeing him rewarded is great. A couple other guys, I'm going to throw one of you just mentioned on both these guys, because I loved that Grover Stewart and Tyquan Lewis are both coming back. The importance of Grover.
Oh, immense. I mean, we give so much praise, and rightfully so. I think across the league, attention is brought on the production of DeForest Buckner, but there is, and this isn't to say that that's not to DeForest credit, but a lot of his production is due to having the tandem of he and Grover Stewart together and the way that they work. And what I find really intriguing is the addition of Charlie Partridge as a defensive line coach onto this coaching staff and what he can do with the wealth of talent and the wealth of resources now that have been invested in that defensive front. When you not only talk about, you know, DeForest and Grover and Tyquan and then Samson Ebicom last year, and then the draft capital when you think about guys like Quitty and Dio. So there has been a lot. I actually heard something earlier today where they're like, I don't know if you look at two guys in the middle of any defensive front that are getting paid better than DeForest and Grover. So you've invested a lot up front there. Now you want to see the return on the backside with, you know, the numbers replicating the investment that's been made. Obviously, you know, that group, the defense as a whole, breaking the franchise sack record, you know, last year, you want to continue to have that level of production for another year. But I really hated that this season was one for Grove that was shortened due to that 6-game suspension, because he was having such a great year and had so much production. But I also think that it a bit shined a light on the void that was there without him. And that's not a knock on anyone else, you know, who was stepping in rotation for Grover in those six games, but it's to a credit of how important he is and how valuable he is on this front.
Equally important to that defense, the way MPJ is to the offense.
Yeah,
with Grover,
I was just about to say, you know, that whole thing about you don't want to find out what life is like without Michael Pittman Jr. Well, you find out what life was like without Grover Stewart, and you know, you got to keep him here. Like the Colts were a top 10 run defense with Grover Stewart on the field, or at least active for games last year, and they were bottom three, if I'm not mistaken, when Grover Stewart was out
and
in that six-game stretch.
Again, a guy who was, what, a fifth-round pick?
Fourth-round pick
at Albany State. So you got him on a steal, really, for that. Or that's another thing that you kind of think about is when you look at the entirety of his career, you know, you were able to get him in those. And, you know, he was kind of unproven because he came out of a, you know, a smaller program and all of that and had to, you know, create what this priority has been for him. But, yeah, one who you do feel like he has given his due.
The other thing, too, is that players at Grove's position, kind of that one technique nose tackle, they usually age pretty well. Like you're not as worried about the post 30 drop off. Grove's 30, but you're not as worried about it at that position compared to other positions.
And he's been really healthy over the course of
his
career.
He's only missed one game due to injury. No games due to injury since he entered the starting lineup.
I was going
to
say, I can't think.
I don't think
time
he's,
going
yeah,
back.
You know what? I don't think he's missed a single game due to injury since he missed the starting lineup.
Well, glad that
lineup.
He's back. Tyquan Lewis, guys. I'm going to say this, and maybe you disagree or agree. I think the importance that he has on the field, obviously, we saw what he did last year, which was a great year coming off of second consecutive knee issues that he's had in the offseason and whatnot, missing time. But it's off the field, it's in those meeting rooms that I've come to find out. This is one of the leaders,
Tyquan?
If not the leader, of the defensive lineman room. And having that leadership back, especially with, you know, scattered with some young guys around him like that, that's what I think is one of the most important offseason things they did, to bring back Tyquan strictly for that.
I mean, you think about his journey, too. Like, another guy who, hey, if you're going through a hard time, go talk to Tyquan. Because this guy, it's unbelievable, in fact, what Tyquan has gone through. To have the patella injury that ended his season in 2021 while returning an interception, like, of all things. And then almost 1 year to the date after that, his other patella goes out, misses the rest of the year. And then he comes back. The Colts brought him back after both of those injuries. And what a way that he rewarded them in 2023.
Healthy?
Healthy for all 17 games. He was effective. He had the third most pressures on the team despite playing the fifth most pass rushing snaps. He's versatile. And then, like you mentioned, what a leader he is. What a voice he is for that defensive line. I mean, how often did we see like Nick Cross just at his locker this year? Like a guy who was kind of, you know, trying to find his footing. Well, who better to talk to than Tyquan Lewis about that, right?
I mean, when you look at what Tyquan has been through over the course, you know, he has outlined the injuries similar to Zaire and the example that he is for every guy on a roster. Tyquan's the same way for, you know, other guys, younger guys to face some adversity early on in their careers. He is that template of, you know, how to go about it and the mentality to have and the investment to have, like, in the recovery and all of that. And I mean, he just is, he's relentless. That's, you know, one of Shane's pillars. He's relentless in the way that he approaches everything, and his faith, his positivity, his belief in this team, none of that has ever wavered.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, Chris Ballard's doing a heck of a job on this thing. And, you know, you read on the social sites and stuff like this is, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? Hey, just let the general manager, okay? Just let the budget that he has to work with and everything like this. But, JJ, just let me finish, though. I just want this to go out to Colts fans. Don't fret when you don't hear, like, hey, this guy got $60 million a year, and he's coming in, he's going to do this for this offense or this for this defense. It's a Chris Ballard way of doing things. He's had success. We've seen that. Hell of a year last year running with a backup quarterback almost to a playoff berth. So, JJ, a message, slight message to the fans that are saying, where's all the bells and whistles right now?
So I'm trying to go find it because our friend Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus, he tweeted out, favorite day ones of free agency. This was at, like, you know, almost midnight on Monday. Texans, Vikings, Lions, Colts. And you look at those teams, some of them spent. The Vikings spent quite a bit. Houston did a little bit. You know, they dabbled a little bit. And then the Lions and Colts were kind of, you know, maybe a little bit more measured getting, you know, the retaining their guys, the Colts especially, they're not giving out these like insane contracts that you usually see on day one of free agency. Those are where teams wind up making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And those are where teams you overpay, and then 2 years later you're cutting the guy, right, dead cap, all that. Mm-hmm. It's not the way the Colts do business. I mean, you think even last year, the Colts, they didn't do anything on day one of free agency. Everyone's sitting around, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
And then the next day it was, okay, here comes Samson Ebukam. Here comes Gardner Minshew. Here comes Matt Gay. You know, you start having some of these signings that come in that you're like, okay, I see what they're doing. And then they play out, you know, pretty well on the field, especially those three guys. And, okay, that was probably a pretty good free agency period. You, right, feel good about where the team's at after that, as opposed to you might get this high of signing a guy for a, you know, bunch of money, and then you get him on the field, and you know,
right,
it's the whole Chris Ballard thing. You don't want to pay B-plus players A money. And that's a lot of what that first day specifically of free agency is.
Rigoberto Sanchez,
yeah,
another one that they've inked to a deal, and obviously coming off the injury that he did and having a hell of a year last year. I mean, this is another guy that we've got a whole boatload of these guys. You want to see him stay because they're not only great guys off the field, but they're great on the field. I'm so happy for the Colts special teamer.
Oh, so happy for him, of course, but I think it's an easy area to overlook when you think about, oh, free agency, and maybe you don't think as much about the priority on special teams, but coming off of the injury that he had, Rigo just progressively got better as the year went on, and that makes me think that, you know, he will continue to be at an even greater level when he starts the 2024 season, you know, even than when he probably finished the 2023 season, because of just the progression of that, the, you know, kind of strength he was able to build up, the confidence he, you know, built from that. And then again, too, kind of going back to the continuity standpoint, it's easy to forget Brian Mason was a brand new special teams coordinator last season. He came out of Notre Dame. This was his first year in the NFL working with that group. So I think maintaining, especially the trio there with Rigo, Matt Gay, Luke Rhodes, I think is really important for that unit to continue to develop. And yeah, Rigo's just, I mean, incredible. You know, like
another great story. You want to talk about great stories? Zaire's, Tyquan's, Grover's, another great story. It's just, Rigoberto.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just one of those moves. You see it, and you're like, yeah of course
sense.
He would do that.
Right.
Like, and Chris Ballard even talked about, he's like, you know, sort of couching it with like, I know no one's going to care about this, but like what Rigo does as a holder. Like
keeping that
kicking battery together. Sometimes if that one little thing goes haywire, you know, you're missing a big kick. I mean, remember that Titans game,
right,
for example, where Ryan Stonehouse, their punter, was also their holder. He got hurt. They had to go with Ryan Tannehill as their holder in an emergency, and he had a bad hold. Nick Folk missed a kick that wound up losing him the game.
Right.
Like, that stuff can happen. I got something on Rigo. This is like real sicko statistical analysis.
Let's
here.
Have it.
So if anyone watching or listening knows this answer, like, let me know, because you're a sicko too. Rigo Sanchez in 2023 did not have a single touchback on 68 punts.
Wow.
The last time a punter had at least 65 punts, so I was sort of like, you're averaging like four a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
With zero touchbacks, 2013, a guy by the name of Saverio Roca.
Roca
with Washington did that.
Well, a hell of a record, hell of a deal. Why didn't Roca
and that was
stick
three
around?
Washington
because he was 40 years old
ago.
And he was an Aussie rules punter. It was his last year in the league because he was 40.
Oh, so he was playing Aussie rules and then finally gave the NFL a crack.
Yeah,
said, all
right,
I'm hang it up.
Yeah,
no, great stack. Good pull on that. If you're not pulling,
I told Lara as we were getting coffee before this, I was like, I got a real sicko stat on Rigo.
That is one
I'm going to bring out here.
If you're watching Aussie Kicker, I forget your name. Thanks. And you had
Saverio Roca.
Roca,
we are the foremost Colts podcast talking about Saverio Roca right now.
He had a hell of a 2013, Roca.
I might be pronouncing that wrong, too. It could be Roca.
He knows who he is.
Could I say Saverio Roca? I don't know.
That's great. So the Colts are getting that. Now, guys, we have to go on the flip side of this because it is free agency. Colts are keeping their own. We just went through the list. Colts have now lost a couple of veterans. You know, you think about it in Gardner Minshew and what he meant to this team last year, especially in OTAs. We talked about it when we knew we were getting a quarterback in the draft and stuff like that, and Anthony couldn't come in. And, you know, and this guy was a leader right from day one. Gardner Minshew off to the Raiders, getting paid for some big money. Lara, I'm going to start with you.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say off to the races.
Off to the races. Off to the Raiders. But Gardner, good for him. He's going to compete for a starting job. You know, and he did everything that was asked for him coming in here. And obviously Shane Steichen plucked him and said, bring this guy in. We're fine as a backup right there. And he proved that, and he's getting paid.
I would have loved to have seen him back here. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, he was so fun, so valuable last season. But you also knew that if he had a chance to compete for a starting job, that was the route that he was going to go. And that's right for him. Signed a fantastic contract to go to Vegas. And he'll compete alongside Aiden O'Connell for that job. I think that his experience, you know, the veteran presence that he is going to be a really good fit there. And will certainly, you know, give him a chance to, you know, get that opportunity, which, you know, he well deserves. So that's one of those things where with all of these, you know, when you do see the departures, I get selfish. I want to keep all of these guys mm-hmm. back, you know, but then when you do see guys who can have an opportunity to have a heavier workload and more security, you want that for them too, because there are only so many guys that you can have on a roster, only so many that you can play at a time. I mean, I think about too, like, you know, how much do we all love Bobby Okereke? But it was like he had played to the point of he deserved a starting linebacker role, right? And you knew he wasn't going to get it here. Went to New York and is having a fantastic time there. Like a number of guys that, you know, you could talk about that, you know, with as well.
That's just part of the NFL.
It's part of it.
I think also for Gardner Minshew, there's not a single quarterback in the NFL who's on a roster who doesn't want to start. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we all wanted Gardner back as a backup, but we all also knew that if any team came to him and said, you're going to have a chance to compete, maybe we'll draft a quarterback, maybe we won't, but we will give you a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL in 2024, he was gone. And as well he should be. Because if he said, I kind of really like backup life in Indianapolis, I'd be like, you do?
Yeah.
Really? You want to be back here? I don't know if we want you back now.
Exactly.
Like that competitiveness aspect of it, I think sometimes gets a little bit lost in translation of this thing. Like Gardner Minshew is a super competitive guy. Of course he wants to go somewhere where he's going to have a chance to compete to start.
And I think if any point, this year has been the year that you see more opportunities for quarterbacks in that situation. There is so much quarterback unknown for so many different organizations that if you are a guy in a role like Gardner, that you've got to strike while the iron's hot, with that you do have this opportunity to capitalize on it. And I think that this is one of the more interesting quarterback seasons that we're going to have.
Well, and now, like, as we're sitting here on Tuesday, like, the musical chairs have kind of slowed a little bit. And now we're probably into where do the backups go? Mm-hmm. You're starting to see some movement on the backup quarterback market. That's now a place. Do the Colts evaluate it and say, we like Sam Ehlinger? Mm-hmm. Do you say we need a veteran quarterback? Do you say we need a quarterback who has a skill set similar to Anthony Richardson? Now it's kind of open. Now that Gardner Minshew has found his role in Las Vegas, now it's kind of this open-ended question that the Colts can go down. Because I think if Gardner didn't get that job in Las Vegas, I think the Colts would be very happy to bring him back, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But now it's like, okay, well, now we can go whatever direction that we think is best, you know, kind of behind Anthony Richardson, whatever that may look like.
Speaking of behind Anthony Richardson, for about a year and a half, we're going to tip of the hat to Zach Moss.
Yes.
Oh.
And what he did and what he brought from the trade with Nyheim Hines. And Zach Moss came in here and we were like, wow, we're seeing – so is it? I'm going to ask you both. Is it the upcoming draft that's lacking so much superior? I use that word talent at the running back positions to see the veterans that we've seen in the last 2 days that are changing teams and signing for some pretty good money.
It could be. I do think teams are there. Maybe this is a bit of a course correction in the running back market, and maybe the Jonathan Taylor extension kind of was that course correction of like, hey, you know, we can't just cycle through these guys. We can't just say, thanks for 4 years and, you know, get out the door. We're going to take a guy in the third round. Yeah. He'll be just as good. Maybe that's a little bit of that. Maybe it is a little bit of a weaker, so, you know, quote unquote draft class where there's not that guy who's going to go in the first round. But those guys who go in the first round are pretty rare anyway.
Yeah.
I think it also might just coincide with a lot of guys who have earned it hitting free agency at the same time.
Right.
And Zach Moss, like another guy who is not going to get that starting role in Indianapolis, right? So he's going to go somewhere where he's got more opportunity. Cincinnati moved on from Joe Mixon, now in Houston. But Zach Moss, I mean, when he came here, he had not been with a team that wanted to run the football. The Buffalo Bills, when Zach Moss got drafted to Buffalo, he's a third-round pick. And you can talk about, we really want to run the ball a lot, but if you don't practice it that much, because you have Josh Allen, you have Stephon Diggs. It's not like I'm saying the Bills made a bad decision.
Right.
But they didn't practice it that much. So when Zach Moss got the ball, he wasn't really able to show what he could do.
And think about the trade, too. You know, mm-hmm. They put Naeem out. You know, yeah. Hey, Naeem, go in the slot. Hey, Naeem, go out on the right side. Whereas you don't see that as much with Zach Moss. So another one that we kind of let go, not let go, but you're happy to see him get his chance in Cincinnati, reportedly.
I think,
but I'm saying I'm happy for a guy like that. And quite frankly, I don't know the Colts in this position for a backup running back paying Jonathan Taylor what they are in a position to match an offer like that for a guy like Zach Moss.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Yeah. Like, good for Zach Moss going somewhere where he's going to get a shot to be kind of the number one guy. For me, like, after that Tennessee game in week 5, mm-hmm. where he went for 163 against one of the best run defenses in the NFL, I remember thinking, yeah, he's probably not going to be back. Yeah. And good for him. Good for him. Go out and get that bag.
I mean, look at who you have with, you know, assessing situations. You know, I mean, he's totally different type of back, but you have Evan Hull, who, mm-hmm. you know, was out for the entirety of the season. What is his role like? What about Trey Sermon? I thought he was really good when he was in there. Is he restricted free agent, Jays?
I think I know he's not unrestricted.
Okay.
I believe that.
So, you know, can you do something there with Trey? You know, a guy who I think proved value to you when he got in, what was that, the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, he had a good game that day.
Really good game. And he's phenomenal. You know, so I think that you do have some options maybe that, you know, aren't exactly the role that Zach Moss played, but you have some interesting personnel to assess and how they fit, and then do you need to supplement that, you know, in some way? And then, you know, I also think too, like, the acquisition period doesn't end with free agency. Think about guys who we have seen movement in training camps, movement during the preseason, leading into the regular season. So it's not just like, you know, April rolls around and you're done making moves. This is a front office that will continue evaluating and growing and, you know, trying to better this roster up until you have roster cuts and after.
Yeah, I mean, the way that it usually works is you kind of have this burst in the first week and a half of free agency. Once you kind of get to Friday of this week, that's when you see things start to slow down. That's when you maybe see some of the veterans who are out there taking their time, taking visits to facilities after that point. And then, you know, it kind of, once you get to the league meetings in late March is usually when it's kind of, okay, not a whole lot's going to happen between now and the draft. But then right after the draft, you have this other burst again, because that's when, if you sign an unrestricted free agent after the draft, it does not count against the compensatory pick formula. If you remember a couple years ago, the Colts signed Eric Fisher right after the draft.
Oh, yeah.
So teams will go through the draft. Hey, can we fill these needs? Can we go with the young guy here? No, we can't. We don't really like anyone on the board here. Okay, let's go bring in the veteran after the draft. He's not going to hurt us if we're trying to get a draft pick next year. And then you get, then it kind of slows back down a little bit. And then you get into training camp. And then you have another kind of flurry during camp. Leading right up to cutdown day when there's another flurry. And that's when you get guys who come.
Mick flurries.
Ooh, I could go for a McFlurry right now, actually.
You
as it
just
goes.
Kept talking about flurries.
A non-dairy McFlurry would be great. But yeah, it's kind of that's kind of how it works. And then you get into the regular season, you can make moves up until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. It's a constantly evolving product that is no end point.
That's why I think it's so funny when you get kind of this knee-jerk reaction to the first 24, 48 hours of free agency, and everyone acts like, oh, you're just done now. You know, like it's this and it's the draft and it's done. Like, you have to look a little, you know, grander scope on it with the opportunities that you have and how you watch things fall into place.
Well, because we get together twice a year, we like to keep our eyes out on our neighbors. And in this case, I'm talking about the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and of course,
the Tennessee Titans,
which is where I want to start with you, Lara. In comes Tony Pollard, reportedly, from Dallas. Out goes Derrick Henry, who's on his way, reportedly, to Baltimore. So that's one of the first big
I really feel like this is the air quotes.
Guys, we've been around here a long time. Lara, myself, JJ is coming. Kevin behind the camera. Twice a year. We were facing King Henry.
I know.
And we knew what he was going to do. There was a couple times where he did shoot him down pretty good. He ended up with, you know, 59 yards or something like that. But for the majority of the thing and the majority of all the opponents that he has played, he has dominated. A Hall of Fame type of a back who is now pairing up with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Good riddance. We love you, King Henry. Good yeah. luck. But we don't get to see you twice a year. We're happy about it. Maybe in the playoffs this year. But your thoughts on King Henry and what he meant to the Titans, and obviously us playing him twice a year.
I mean, I think that he – I don't know if they have – do they have a Ring of Honor in Tennessee? Do they do that? Like
sure.
we have, they have, like, he's a guy who's a Ring of Honor guy for that organization, right? Or the equivalent, whatever they call it there, you know, the sword layer, you know, I don't know.
the sword layer.
Sure.
Because they have a sword, they put, you know, put in the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do some smelting. Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, a guy who meant a ton to that organization. But when you look at the kind of sweeping moves that were made, you know, moving on from Mike Vrabel and, you know, just across that organization, you know, what are they going to do at quarterback, you know, to this point? I think it was probably the right time. You know, if they have a different vision for how they want to build and how they want to take this. And then I think it puts Derrick Henry in an awesome situation.
Yeah.
I mean, to be with Lamar Jackson, to be in Baltimore, a team that is, you know, going to come back highly motivated, you know, going into next season with everything that they have. So I think it gives him, to me, at this point in his career, it's better for him because he is on a more established team that has the opportunity to make a playoff run, whereas you have Tennessee that is in somewhat, I don't want to say a full rebuild, but a restructure. Would that be accurate to say, you know, to that point? So I think it's probably, you know, good all around. Did Derrick Henry probably want to play his entire career for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah.
Sure, probably would have. But when you see the writing on the wall and the moves that they're going to have to make, you don't know. I mean, you know, when you talk about the longevity that there is at nose tackle, yeah, that's great. The longevity at running back is the completely polar opposite, you know, side of that picture. And the level that Derrick Henry has played at for as long as he has, I think this is one situation where you're like, all right, this is a guy who's going to go and, like, he's going to make, you know, this, you know, kind of final few year run to see how he can maximize it and, you know, try to get an AFC championship, try to make a Super Bowl appearance with Baltimore.
Right. His last game against the Colts, he went for 21 for 102 with a two-piece.
No.
Like, yeah, I mean, good for you, Derek. Good riddance.
Yeah, I mean, that's him. JJ, let's move on. Let's go to Houston. What's going on down there with the Texans? Because they've been busy as well.
Yeah, Jonathan Grenard, defensive end, who had
double-digit
sacks.
I mean, I'm sorry, but what
really
a dominant
player. Really good player.
Yeah, sorry to see you go.
Reportedly,
you
know, goes to Minnesota.
We cannot say goodbye to Danico Autry ever.
No, I was just about to get there. So they're replacing him with the guy who, like, we can't get rid of, Danico Autry, who's now playing four revenge games a year within the division.
No kidding.
He reportedly goes to Houston and, like, man, I mean, Danico, like, what a banshee that guy is.
Yeah.
Like, every time I watch him play, he just is, like, hair on fire.
And I just, I mean, I don't know a lot about D'Amico Ryans, but just in watching him, especially last year, I'm like, oh, that's a good fit.
It's
like
a similar front to how we play, you know, with that kind of attacking style. Danico Autry, yeah, you're right about that. And then the Texans, they swap out Devin Singletary for Joe Mixon, the longtime Bengals running back coming in there. So he's got some pass catching juice. Mixon, you know, still good, a good running back. You know,
well,
they
saw that last year. We saw that in November.
Yeah, right. With the screen that he took like 50 something yards. Yeah, Houston probably needed to get a little more efficient in their run game. You know, see if Mixon can bring that.
Sure,
but
just give give CJ Stroud more to work with.
I'm still interested what Houston might have up their sleeve. They've kind of, for the most part, they've gone about it with some kind of smaller level deals. I think it was reportedly they're bringing in Jeff Okuda, the cornerback from Atlanta, former number three overall pick. Like, there's some little moves here, but maybe there's something coming down the pike for Houston.
Hey, Jacksonville, let's see what's going on down there. Gabe Davis, a guy that a lot of people were on, obviously out in Buffalo and, you know, playing with Josh Allen and stuff. So he was a high commodity. He ends up in Jacksonville, similar to almost like it reminded me a little bit of the Kirk deal.
Christian
Kirk. A couple years ago, a similar type of a thing like that. They also got a veteran, another one from Buffalo, and Mitch Morse at center. So Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars got Darby at cornerback as well.
Yep.
They're moving and shaking down there. So as far as bringing in new faces, the three of the four AFC South teams have done that in a Chris Ballard type way, signing within with their own. We're seeing that pattern happen right now. But what do you think of Jacksonville, what they're doing down there with Trevor Lawrence to get him another weapon?
Well, I think that they're one of those teams that is typically a little more aggressive in free agency. And so this is on par with what we have seen them do the last few years with those day one signings that they have made. And yeah, I think when you look at the collapse of last season, you have to evaluate everything and look at, okay, where are these glaring holes or weaknesses that we had that kept us out of the playoffs when it looked like we should have had a stranglehold on the division, you know, a month out. And Lawrence is an incredibly talented player. So you do think that adding weapons for him was a huge priority. And I don't really think that they're done in that respect either.
Yeah, that's kind of the big looming question about them right now is with Calvin Ridley. With him not having agreed to anything as of right now as we're taping this, is could there still be room for him back in Jacksonville? We'll see. That's going to be interesting. Gabe Davis is we all remember that playoff game against Kansas City where I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is like unbelievable. But he's kind of had this like weird boomer bust career
really
in Buffalo where you look at last year down the stretch in week 12, he had 6 for 105. The next two games, he had no catches on 3 targets.
That is
then he
such
went,
a Buffalo stat, yeah.
Right?
By the way. You
then,
know what I mean?
Then he went 4 for 130 against the Chargers, then 2 for 21, 0 for 0 against Miami to end the season. But you got to remember, he's got Stephon Diggs on the other side. So
who's he's not a possession guy. We're not calling him a possession receiver.
No, he's kind of
what
that.
I'm saying he could be in this new system with Trevor Lawrence that he could be a possession. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
there,
we'll see. It's going to be interesting that he, depending on what happens with Ridley, he could be maybe more of a focal point of an offense, and maybe there's some upside there that Jacksonville thinks they see.
JJ, stick around the NFL now just in broad. Give me a couple of signings that we said. I'm going to start with one, and hats off to Kirk Cousins. I'm just going to say $380 million when it's all said and done, and he's not done yet.
What are the career earnings shaping up to be for
Kirk Cousins? Fifth rounder out of Michigan
Cousins.
State. They take RG3 in the first. They go get Cousins in the same draft in the fifth, and he's the one that's has come out and made over $250 million. He's in Atlanta. That was a big one. We saw Josh Jacobs go to Green Bay. JJ, touch on some free agent signings you saw.
Boy, if you needed a guard this year, you got to pay a pretty penny
sure.
for that. The amount of money that was thrown around in the guard market was, I think, surprising to some people.
Hunt from the Dolphins.
Yeah, Hunt went to Carolina.
Yeah.
You saw Landon Dickerson reportedly sign the biggest contract ever given out to a guard with him re-upping with the Eagles.
Hey, what do people think when Quentin Nelson signed that big deal? Oh, it's a lot of money to invest in a guard.
You know,
now it's like,
you know what? I even thought back further to 6 years ago right now where everyone's debating, should he really take a guard in the top 10 of the draft? Like, Quentin Nelson's at the combine getting questions if he's going to switch to tackle.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of worked
It kind of worked out pretty good for the Colts on that one.
Okay. Free agency is among us right now. And like I said, there's so many deals that are going on. They're happening as we speak right now. Guys, I want to close out with this. I'm just going to ask you, it's a crystal ball question, and the answer isn't right. It isn't wrong. But the activity from here on out until we get to the NFL draft, as far as new faces on this roster, where are you guys at with it?
We'll see some. We will. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to be keeping your own and, kind of going from there. Like, well, Kenny Moore the second still is kind of an unanswered question. But beyond that, we'll see some new faces. Don't worry.
Like, all the information you need, guys, Colts.com. Follow him on Twitter X, at Lara Overton, at JJ Stankovic. I'm at Hey Gorman. I'm not going to give you much, but these two will. I promise you on that. But listen, this is a fun time of year. This is a fun time of year for us to all put our GM hats on and stuff like that and say, oh, he'd be good there, he'd be good there. But it definitely is methodical, and it's fun watching these GMs, the different ways they work. There's so much more coming. JJ, give me a roundup of what's going on with the Colts Audio Network and how they can find the latest draft. We got so much draft stuff coming up, number one.
Inside the Draft with Matt Taylor, that'll be coming out again on Thursday. And we just have, Overtime. It's kind of the emergency podcast brand that we have. That's going to come out whenever there's news,
whenever
there's something big, whenever maybe you get a player back here for an interview. We're going to run with that. So keep an eye out for that on your feeds and right here on YouTube.
All right, Lara Overton, I know what you're up to today. If you haven't done it already, it's almost 70 degrees out there. So go get your mile
in. It's true. I will be heading outside. I slept in a little late, so didn't get it done this morning. But, I'm actually rewarded by procrastinating because I'll get a better run in this afternoon, no doubt. Yeah, that's top of the priority list, let's be honest.
Always. So. What a great streak. Latte, Lara Overton, JJ Stankovic, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. A big thanks. This show is brought to you by our friends at Kevin Connerville. That's right, our guy who is behind the camera making this work week in and week out. Appreciate all the help. Guys, anything before we say goodbye and hello to this group? Because there's going to be more action coming up in the next hour, the next day, the next week, and the next month. Anything as we're closing?
I can't wait for this podcast to be outdated by the time it's live.
Yeah. You know, I'm just a little irritated that Selection Sunday is so late this year.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Just this week is like conference tournaments. They now are going to, so now
tip
it's,
it off already.
Right. Let's go. So yeah, that's my Indiana inside of me. But yeah, that's my kind of rant to end this podcast.
Great time.
Completely unrelated, but I guess it does provide somewhat of a buffer between like the wave of free agency and then you get a little, okay, and now we'll go into college basketball.
Larry, I just got one college basketball question. We're going to cut it off. Does Indiana make the big dance this year?
I probably have to win Big Ten tournament to get in. I don't know. They don't have any quality wins. I haven't, you know, I need our friend Connor Handel on our production staff. No one covers like or follows college basketball as closely as he does. He would tell me, I don't know that you have the wins to get there at this point.
I'm sorry.
I got to see what they do in the tournament.
I don't think Missouri is going to go there this year.
I think three or four wins
I think on the year.
The first win in the SEC would be the first. So their first. So yeah, who cares?
That's all right.
Who cares?
That's all right.
Hey, give me football season.
For Missouri and for IU, here we are. Hey, guys, again, Colts.com, all the latest information. Be sure to check out all the latest podcasts and the emergency ones.
Okay,
are the best.
Sorry, now since we've gone down this route now, before, but did you guys see that Coach Steichen attended the regular season finale of the Hoosiers over the weekend?
Had a rah-rah speech
in
the locker room.
Yeah, so how cool is that? The way that, you know, our head coach has kind of ingrained himself in March in Indiana, taking the little college basketball and he has been to Purdue as well, so and I believe maybe a Butler game. So he's making all
making
the stops.
Rounds,
so
yeah.
He's not playing favoritism to the Hoosiers. He, you know, went to West Lafayette as well.
Awesome. But. So much more coming up, guys. It's that time of year. It's the crazy time of year. We love it. Getting ready for the upcoming season. So much more to go over. You can find out the latest at thecolts.com as well as on Twitter X, at Lara Overton, at JJ Stankovich. Once again, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. We're coming back with more because it is the fun time. It is fun money time that they say, and everybody's getting paid out there, so we're going to keep you up to date. For JJ and Lara, we will talk to you next week.